Opening the doors to more people, millions of additional Ontarians soon able to book their booster. Third dose eligibility for COVID-19 vaccine set to expand within days.
We are seeing ongoing good immunity, but we want to be able to provide the third doses in a timely fashion before the immunity fades.
The renewed race between the vaccine and the variant. Who will be next in line for their next shot? Good evening. The wider rollout starts in less than 2 weeks.
Based on your age and when you got your second dose. December 13th is the date many people will be circling on their calendars. Those 50 and over will be able to start making appointments, and that's expected to expand next month. The move comes as several new cases of the Omicron variant are identified here in the GTA. You'll need to wait at least 6 months after getting your second shot to get the booster.
And already there are calls to make that dose available to everyone. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Yeah, Michelle, the Chief Medical Officer of Health has said we have a narrow window of time before Omicron really takes over in all of Ontario. And already we're seeing the signs of spread. Late this afternoon, Halton Region said they have one lab-confirmed case of the Omicron variant and two additional cases that are under suspicion. Halton Region confirmed one case of the Omicron variant connected to somebody who traveled overseas. And now Toronto Public Health says they are investigating four cases connected to the Halton case. This is all happening very quickly, which is why the Chief Medical Officer of Health wants people with their third doses as soon as possible. Days after first being identified in Ontario, the Omicron variant is spreading. Durham Region recorded its first case, a close contact of someone who traveled to southern Africa. And Ontario's Chief Medical Officer of Health says it's just a matter of time before the variant takes over.
When Delta overtook Alpha in Ontario, it took 4 months for that to occur. We may have a shorter window for Omicron.
With the inevitable now on the horizon, the government is turning to the vaccine for protection, allowing anyone aged 50 plus to book their booster as of December 13th, as long as 6 months have passed after their second shot. Dr. Kieran Moore says at this point, the province doesn't know how effective the vaccine will be against Omicron.
I do hope and wish that it gives us also protection against Omicron, but I have to be completely honest that we don't have the science to make that statement yet.
So for now, the boosters are intended to target the Delta variant, which is spreading rapidly in Ontario, threatening to spill over into the province's hospitals.
This is to be considered a three-dose vaccine. We need this protection at the population level, but every single person as well, because we don't want you to end up on our ICUs.
But what about the rest of the population? There are calls to open up eligibility for boosters to everyone.
What would make logical sense from our perspective would be you just open it up to anybody that's 18 plus or perhaps even 12 and above, and it would be based on when they got their second shot. And you would do the rollout very similar to how it worked for first and second doses, with that time interval between second and third being 6 months.
Dr. Moore says it's a matter of capacity. Pharmacies, for example, are administering vaccines for COVID and influenza. And children 5 to 11 are now eligible for the COVID-19 shot. The province doesn't want to overwhelm the system.
If we don't see the capacity being used that we've built to best protect those staged and phased high priority groups, we will then potentially open it up sooner to other age groups.
In the meantime, Ontario is carefully monitoring Omicron.
We're doing the genome sequencing on all of the samples to understand exactly what we're dealing with, whether it's Omicron or Delta or any other variant. So we're following it very closely.
Looking to slow down a variant that could soon dominate the province. So as of December 13th, 4.7 million Ontarians will be eligible for the third dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And we hit a milestone with first doses as well. As of today, the 12-plus population, 90% have their primary shot. Reporting live at Queen's Park, I'm Colin DeMello. Michelle, over to you.
Mm-hmm. And let's look at that. Across Ontario, 90% of residents ages 12 and up have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And 87.2% of that age group now considered fully vaccinated.
Meanwhile, the international response to the Omicron discovery continues to intensify.
Our neighbors to the south implementing tough new travel measures. And if you're planning a flight stateside, you'll want to take note. CTV's Glenn McGregor has more.
The U.S. reported its second Omicron case found in Minnesota. The president pushing a wider vaccination campaign, home testing, and new travel rules.
All inbound international travelers must test within one day of departure, regardless of their vaccination status or nationality.
Travelers arriving in Canada are being told to expect delays as PCR tests are ramped up at airports across the country. And there is confusion about the new requirements.
Will the Prime Minister deliver a clear plan of what the rules are so Canadians who are traveling know what to do?
This is a circuit breaker to give us time to be careful.
Across Europe, confusion and anger over new measures as Germany and Austria plan mandatory lockdowns for the unvaccinated. As borders tighten, the UN Secretary General condemned travel bans imposed on those coming from Africa.
We have the instruments to have safe travel. Let's use those instruments to avoid this kind of, allow me to say, travel apartheid, which I think is unacceptable.
The new U.S. rules apply only to air travelers, not those crossing the land border. And the transport minister said today it's not necessary yet to test fully vaccinated people coming from the U.S. into Canada. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
While the rules at the land border may not be changing, the current crop of conditions are creating confusion for some travelers.
A quick trip to the U.S. may not be so simple. And if you're planning a journey, it's worth reviewing everything you'll need to get back home. CTV's Austin Delaney's live with more. Austin.
Well, a Mississauga woman coming on television tonight from isolation in her home to warn other Canadians in the U.S. coming across the border to fill out their ArriveCan app before they meet their border agent.
No, I didn't.
Lori Fonseca is steaming.
It was like being kicked in the gut.
Yesterday, after spending just 7 hours shopping in Buffalo, the fully vaccinated Mississauga woman and friend returned to Canada at the Rainbow Bridge and was told to self-quarantine for 2 weeks because she did not pre-register on the ArriveCan app.
I'm basically bound in my house for 14 days and I'm a Canadian citizen fully vaccinated. Like, this makes absolutely no sense to me. And we had the piece of paper. He did not even, it was almost like he took pride in being able to do this to us.
The Canada Border Services says in a release to remind travelers, you must use ArriveCan before arriving in Canada. Canadian citizens, permanent residents, or persons registered under the Indian Act will not be denied entry if they do not submit their information in ArriveCan, but will not be eligible for the fully vaccinated traveler exemption. May face additional delays at the border for public health questioning and may be subject to fines or enforcement action. Fonseca says she did not know.
I said, can we go and park over there and do it really quickly and come back? He goes, no. He goes, this parking lot would be full of people. And I'm like, but how do we quarantine for 14 days when we didn't do anything wrong? We're fully vaccinated Canadian. Well, I'm a Canadian citizen. She's a permanent resident. And I was just mind, like, we felt like we were kicked in the gut. He goes, well, the nice side of things is I'm not charging you duty.
They told the CBSA officer they would rather pay duty and show him their paper vaccination certificates.
He did nothing to mitigate it. Like, you know, go over there, park, fill out the app. I could take up a parking spot if I went in and paid duty, but I couldn't take up a parking spot to fill out the ArriveCan app.
Her friend, who is also quarantined, will miss an important family event.
She's got a flight on the 14th of December at 9 p.m. to go back home to England for her brother's 60th birthday. And the border guard says, well, she won't be going because quarantine ends at 11:59 p.m.
Canada Border Services declining to speak on the specifics of this case, but saying it's a must to have that app filled out and to do your homework before coming back. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. Meanwhile, Public Health Ontario is reporting 959 new COVID-19 cases in its most recent update. More than 38,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 2.5%.
At the same time, 770 more illnesses are considered resolved. That count now stands at more than 603,000 since the start of the pandemic. 8 additional deaths are linked to the virus, 7 over the last day. That means 10,012 lives have now been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 118 new cases in the city of Toronto, with 75 in Peel. There are 53 new cases in York Region, with 42 in Halton and 32 in Niagara. Hamilton has 27 new cases, with 21 in Durham.
Meanwhile, the City of Toronto is launching a new web page to keep residents aware of possible COVID-19 exposures. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Toronto Public Health will update its online list of times and places where officials believe there was a risk of the virus spreading. The site will focus on public places where 20 or more people were present or individual contact information isn't available.
Just ahead, the new warning from police that every driver will want to hear. Criminals using tracking devices to attach to your vehicle so they can follow you home and steal it later. So many of us rely on deliveries these days, but sometimes they can go wrong. A Toronto couple finding themselves on the hook for $20,000 in damages to their condo building.
That's roughly 10 times what they'd paid for the appliances being delivered. But as Scott Lightfoot reports, they're now breathing a big sigh of financial relief after CTV News got involved.
It was last April when Joseph Leung and his wife bought a new washer and dryer from Costco. They ordered the appliances to be delivered to their condo near Avenue Road and Lawrence. Security video from the condo on that day shows the delivery truck leaving after unloading the washer and dryer and driving right into the building's rolling garage door before it had been fully raised.
I think that's very irresponsible because they noticed the damage and they didn't inform me about it. So I have to find out from the security calling me saying there's a damage.
Leung says he thought the damage might be a scratched wall, but he had no idea just how extensive and expensive the damage to the door was until he got an invoice from the property management company.
Yeah, I'm on the hook of $20,000 of damage.
$20,000, roughly 10 times the cost of the appliances he had had delivered. Since then, he's been trying to get Costco or the delivery companies to cover the cost.
It's been really stressful. Like, it's been going on for over half a year. Like, I've been chasing, making phone calls to everyone.
Leung says he was told that Costco subcontracts its deliveries to an outside company who then used a third company to do the actual delivery.
I have to do all the chasing with the subcontract delivery company and their subcontract delivery company and their insurance.
In the meantime, his property management company has given him 3 extensions to pay the $20,000 damage bill.
If not, they will put a lien on my unit, and then that could affect my credit score as well as remortgaging and all those stuff.
At one point, they told us to claim our own home insurance to cover the damage. And then we have to pay for our deductible, and then the premium increase, and we lost our no-claim discount.
CTV News contacted Costco earlier this week. Within hours, a representative of the company reached out to Leung. Costco tells CTV they have extended an offer to pay the full costs associated with the repairs. For the Leungs, it may mean the end to a multi-month-long effort to fix a problem they didn't cause.
The whole thing is just ridiculous.
Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
Later tonight, coveted appointments for driving tests showing up for sale online. Are they legit and is that allowed? Thousands of people have been waiting to get on the road. To your forecast, it warmed up today and now it's cooling right back down. Michelle Jobin is here with what's happening outside right now. Any wetness out there?
Well, we're actually looking at some showers at Pearson Airport right now. And if we take a look at our radar and satellite imagery, we just see a little bit of light shower activity and also the potential for some snow up here off of Lake Huron over towards Kincardine. Temperatures, as you mentioned, are dropping. The front has gone through. Colder air is flooding into southern Ontario at this point. Winds have been quite gusty today. Right now, they're sustained at 37 kilometers an hour, gusting up to 50 in the city of Toronto. But as those winds swing out of the northwest, it feels a whole lot different than when they're out of the southwest. So it's definitely feeling cooler out there. There's a special weather statement still in effect for areas adjacent to the Upper Great Lakes, also for the Niagara region and Prince Edward County, where we could see wind gusts up to 80 kilometers an hour. Temperatures are falling throughout the region right now in the city of Toronto. This is how things are looking. 6 degrees in the islands, 5 at Pearson, going down to a low of -2. Back to you.
All right, thanks, Michelle. An update on a story we first brought you last night. A 15-year-old boy is now facing charges in connection to the stabbing of another teen in Oshawa. The incident happening yesterday at a park near Harmony and Adelaide. A 15-year-old boy was found with a serious stab wound. He continues to recover in hospital. Later in the day, police say the suspect, who cannot be identified, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault.
Elsewhere, police have arrested a man accused of shoving another person onto the tracks at Bloor Young Station. 26-year-old Tasho Shapinkis turned himself into police today after investigators released security images of a suspect yesterday. He is facing a charge of aggravated assault. A 36-year-old man was struck by a subway train but survived.
Their stories are hard to hear. Young Muslim students sharing their experiences of discrimination and bias in Ontario schools.
A new initiative now helping to spread awareness and increase knowledge. CTV's Beth McTennell reports.
There is a new website giving these Muslim 16-year-olds hope. Practicing Islam and going to school can leave students isolated, misunderstood, facing discrimination and prejudice.
There was a pizza party and the teacher really wanted me to eat pepperoni pizza, which I 100% cannot do.
Iman Khan studied in the public system. For high school, he moved to Olive Grove, a Muslim school in Mississauga. He says it's hard explaining why he fasts, needs a day off for Eid, or doesn't eat pork.
They really made me feel picked on, and that's why I just feel like it was a better decision to move to somewhere where everyone else understands my feelings.
Especially seeing the rapid rise.
To combat Islamophobia, the Muslim Association of Canada has launched what it believes is a first of its kind in North America, IslamAwareness.ca. Created with a $225,000 grant from the Ontario government, the site has courses addressing what is Islam and dismantling Islamophobia for educators and students.
Their own health, their own sense of identity, these are things that are being negatively impacted when you look at Islamophobia.
The association points to a 2017 Angus Reid survey that found Islam was viewed unfavorably by almost half of Canadians. The association says a lack of understanding has led to a disproportionate fear of Muslims and believes it's also played a role in rising hate crimes. For Tayma Hadi and Sakina Nihazi, stereotypes about wearing the hijab are difficult. They want people to understand no one is forcing them. It's a choice.
When people ask me about it, I'm actually happy because I can reshift that narrative of Islamophobia, that narrative of Islamophobic assumptions.
Nihazi recently switched from a Muslim school to the public system. She says while not everyone understands her yet, the shift is going well overall and presents an opportunity.
I hope that I'm able to kind of correct them when they in whatever they think about Islam. They think that a Muslim woman is always shy and quiet and oppressed, and I'm not.
The site, another opportunity so schools can address Islamophobia, build human connections, and help everyone better understand one another. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
Downtown Toronto will soon be the testing ground for a North American first.
A short-term rental co-op hoping to compete with big platforms like Airbnb while giving back to the community. CTV's John Woodward is live in Kensington Market with more. John.
Nathan, it's one thing to crack down on short-term rentals, as the City of Toronto has done. It's quite another to try and beat them at their own game.
Toronto's quirky Kensington Market is a target for tourists and naturally a target for short-term rentals.
I would easily say we've been very viscerally ground zero for a lot of these things.
Activists point to surges in listings on platforms like Airbnb, which can be good for guests, but grim if it displaces locals.
Pre-pandemic, it was pretty dramatic. And there was a point at which, in my case, suddenly I didn't have neighbors.
So perhaps it makes sense that Kensington Market is the launch point for a short-term rental platform with a twist called Fairbnb Co-op. It's an expansion of a European site. The pictures show the kinds of homes you'd expect on any short-term rental platform, but this isn't a private company, it's a cooperative.
Put booking fees and money back into the communities where short-term rentals operate.
Downtown Toronto will be the North American testing ground for an entirely different operation, where they hope to put sharing back in the sharing economy. And explicitly limit guests to use primary residences in a spare room or while the resident is traveling, all set to take on big players like Airbnb or Vrbo.
We know once we start an ethical alternative that those folks that rent out their own places are moving over to the platform cooperative.
Money raised at this stage will head to the Kensington Market Community Land Trust, which just acquired this building.
The people that live there are allowed to stay there, and it will be affordable housing in perpetuity.
Fairbnb's plan to scale up and do the same across Canada.
Airbnb got $135,000 from Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation to start this up. They say they expect their first listings to go live in March, hoping to capitalize on tourists when they return. Reporting live from Kensington Market, I'm John Woodward. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, John. The province is expanding an online platform it says will help create a more seamless justice system in Ontario. The digital system is called eIntake. It will be expanding to all Toronto courthouses by next Tuesday. The tool can be used by police officers to file criminal charges online. Justices of the peace can also enter decisions digitally, sign documents, and request more information from police. eIntake has already been launched in several other regions. It's set to be in use province-wide by the summer.
The RCMP says it seized dozens of illegal guns in eastern Ontario last week, allegedly smuggled from the United States. Investigators released this image of the haul, which also included 110 high-capacity magazines. Police say they saw a boat cross the St. Lawrence River on November 26th, not far from Cornwall. Officers reported seeing three large bags unloaded from the boat into a vehicle, which was then stopped, and 59 firearms were seized. Two men from Quebec were arrested on a number of weapons and customs charges.
The Office of the Governor General, Mary Simon, says there's been an unauthorized breach of its internal network. A statement released this morning reads, "While the nature and the scope of the breach are still under investigation, the Office of the Secretary to the Governor General is continuing its work with experts and pursuing further network improvements as needed." In addition, the OSGG has been in communication with the Office of the Privacy Commissioner in response to this incident.
The federal government has announced plans to update Canadians on where the country's finances stand later this month.
Our government's plan is to finish the fight against COVID and to support our recovery from the COVID recession. We know it's important to Canadians that we are careful and transparent with our nation's finances. That's why I'm pleased to announce that I will be giving an economic and fiscal update to Canadians on December 14th.
The announcement comes as the Liberals look to extend pandemic supports for businesses and workers who come under lockdown rules. The NDP have called for increased aid as the Conservatives say spending should go back to pre-COVID levels.
Environment Canada has now lifted all storm alerts for BC, and flood watches have been lifted on Vancouver Island and the Central Coast.
The worst weather now appears to be behind us, and I think we are all grateful for that.
Flood warnings remain in effect in some areas where snowmelt is causing rivers to rise, and several highway closures are still in place. Nearly two dozen temperature records were broken or tied across BC yesterday, as the trio of atmospheric rivers brought unseasonably warm weather to the province.
For the first time in decades, there is labor unrest in Major League Baseball.
The league's owners locked players out after their collective bargaining agreement expired at midnight. Commissioner Bob Manfred said MLB didn't want to be vulnerable to a strike.
It's not a good thing for the sport. It's not something that we undertake lightly. We understand it's bad for our business. We took it out of a desire to drive the process forward to an agreement now.
Players and owners are far apart on a number of key issues. They've got 70 days until the spring training to work out a deal. If they don't, the start of the 2022 baseball season could be in jeopardy.
The backlog is massive. Road test appointments in Ontario are hard to find. And if you've been waiting for months for a spot, something like this would probably get your attention.
Online postings promising to help you grab a booking. But there's work underway to put the brakes on the practice. CTV's Mike Walker explains why.
The backlog at drive test centers has made booking a road test harder to come by.
Let's say about 3 months.
It was too busy. I was not getting any dates from any location.
The Ministry of Transportation says COVID-19 has forced more than 420,000 appointments to be cancelled since last March. That has led to numerous postings like these on social media and Kijiji, with a third-party seller promising to book a road test as soon as possible for a fee.
That seems kind of sketchy to me, to be honest. I don't even know if we should be, like, relying on these people.
We found this ad for $45, another charging $70. But is it legal?
It is legal for someone to resell a driving test.
This defense lawyer says it's a legal service as long as conditions are met.
That you're using the identity of a real person to actually book the test. Second, that you have permission from that person to use their identity. And third, that you, of course, actually deliver on your promise.
The MTO cautions against third-party booking sites and resellers, stating the drive test booking site is not affiliated with any other service, saying in a statement, the MTO and drivetest.ca are not responsible for road test appointments booked through third-party websites and cannot guarantee that those appointments will be honored.
Because some people are paying for bookings that don't exist. Some people are paying for bookings that do exist.
Brian Patterson is with the Ontario Safety League, which has fielded complaints and is warning of numerous scams.
People are using other driver's licenses to jam the system, then canceling those tests and rebooking the person they sold the test to. You can be given a fraudulent test package, and you show up on the day and there's no test there.
The MTO says it continues to take steps to block third-party websites and sellers on the drive test booking portal, including a 45-minute time limit and prohibiting switching appointments between drivers. Mike Walker, CTV News.
Still ahead, how do you prompt life-changing research when there are so few in the world who have a rare condition? Little Maddie's journey and hope for her future.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, we know that car thieves are stealing vehicles out of driveways as people sleep, but now they're using a new tactic. They're cruising mall parking lots and placing tracking devices on vehicles with plans to find them and steal them later. I'll have that story just ahead.
Temperatures were warmer today, but of course we also had very gusty winds that made it feel a little bit cooler than we actually were. Some of the highest gusts were, of course, in Niagara region, where until recently we had a special weather statement for wind gusts. Fort Erie, 94 kilometers an hour. St. Catharines at 79 kilometer an hour peak gusts, and the 71 in the Niagara Falls region. Here in Toronto, we were around the 60 kilometer an hour mark, getting up to 63 at the city center. So those are dying down as we get through the overnight. They're shifting out of the northwest, and it's going to feel colder. We're actually going to get much closer to our seasonal values as we head through the overnight. Normally we should be -4 overnight, a high of 3 degrees. We reached 10 in the city of Toronto today. Tonight we'll be heading down to a low of -2. So I'm going to let you know what else you can expect coming up. It's going to be feeling a little more wintry. We'll be back in 2 minutes with more details.
Car thieves typically drive through GTA neighborhoods trying to spot high-end vehicles they can come back and steal later.
But now they are cruising mall parking lots and placing tracking devices on cars so they can locate them to steal when they feel the time is right. Pat Foran has more on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Michelle and Nathan, York Regional Police say there have already been 2,000 vehicles stolen this year in York Region alone. They want the public to know thieves are now placing small tracking devices on vehicles they want to steal, and you may not even know that they're there.
I had a 2017 Lexus with the executive package.
Maureen McDaniels just had her luxury SUV stolen from her driveway. Thieves came in the middle of the night to take it.
They pulled up at 2:35. One person got out, and less than a minute and a half later, he was driving off in my car.
York Regional Police say car thieves are cruising mall parking lots as well as GO station parking areas to install tracking devices on high-end vehicles so they can find them later to steal.
They're installing these tagging devices on those vehicles right there in broad daylight at these public locations.
Police decided to issue the warning after five reports of drivers finding the trackers on their vehicles.
Once these tagging devices are installed on the vehicle, then the thieves are able to basically track that vehicle whenever they want.
While the tracking device could be placed anywhere, they have been found attached to the front grille, inside the gas cap, and even stuck inside various parts of a vehicle's towing apparatus. Police want the public to know what the trackers look like.
It's about the size of a toonie, maybe a little bit bigger. They're very easy to conceal.
Vehicles are often stolen between 1 and 5 a.m. in the morning, where they use technology to copy fobs and gain entry to a vehicle. They're often able to drive it away within minutes. To prevent vehicle theft, park in a garage if possible, use a steering wheel lock, install your own GPS tracker, invest in security cameras, and inspect your vehicle regularly. McDaniels doesn't know if a tracking device was placed on her vehicle, but says the thought that it may have been is frightening.
How do you possibly find a tracking device, small as it would be, on a car when there's so much going on a car?
And police say many of the vehicles that are being stolen are being shipped in containers to buyers overseas. They say if you do find one of these trackers on your vehicle, you should call them so they can use it to try and track down the thieves. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
All right, back to the forecast. We were above seasonal today, and maybe you wore a lighter jacket, but you need the heavy one now.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get really cold, especially when you're stepping out tomorrow morning, and, you know, all that snow melted away, Michelle.
Yes, but we are looking at the potential of some returning as we get later into the weekend. Actually, looking ahead to Sunday, Monday, things might be a little bit on the messy side, but we'll talk about that coming up in your 7-day. In the meantime, yes, cooling down. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. Okay, so temperatures, we were at 10 degrees. We're sitting at 5 degrees right now in the city of Toronto. And you factor in the winds because they're still quite gusty out there. Feels closer to 0 degrees. We had a flow of air out of the southwest initially, shifted around to the west, and now from the northwest as the front has moved through. And we are still seeing some gustier winds. There is a special weather statement that is in effect still for the Kingston, Prince Edward County area, specifically for Sandbanks. This is where we're seeing the potential for gusts up to 80 kilometers an hour. Hasn't been too gusty there recently, but it could get there in the next little while. So overnight tonight, winds are subsiding a little bit. What I want to alert people to is because we have had wet roads throughout the day, because we've had showers, we're seeing them there in the GTA right now, temperature dropping overnight. That gives us icier roads. And then the other thing that's happening is we're going to get flurries as the temperature drops below zero. So be aware of that. Roads are going to be slick. -2 is where we're headed, feeling like -8 right around when you're waking up and heading out the door tomorrow. So it's going to feel much different. Winds out of the northwest, 20 to 50 kilometers an hour. Tomorrow's highs are going to be spot on seasonal here in the GTA. 3 degrees is where we're headed. We'll see more sunshine. We did see a few peaks of it in the afternoon today. We're going to see more of it tomorrow. There is the potential of seeing some flurries, though. This is what we're looking at around the radar imagery right now, and you can see showers moving off to the east of the GTA in and around the city of Toronto, and, you know, just scattered throughout the region. So that's what we're seeing. The bulk of the moisture has pushed on at this point, and as the fronts move through, that's when we get that colder air moving in behind. It's not going to be colder than seasonal as we get through the next little while. It's just going to be a bit of a sharp turn as we head through the overnight period and into especially tomorrow morning. So putting our forecast radar in motion, a little bit of enhancement off the upper Great Lakes with the cold northwest winds over the relatively warmer water of Lake Huron and Georgian Bay. So that's going to give us some flurries, but some nice clearing, some sunshine early in the day tomorrow. That's going to be nice. And then we get a bit of a shift tomorrow. We'll get a little bit more snow north of the city. Chance of a mix of precipitation as well, especially closer to the shore lines of Lake Erie. And then as we get into Saturday, the possibility for more squalls. So watch out for that. So -2, feeling like -8 tonight. 3 degrees with some flurries tomorrow and some sunshine. Then -4 overnight into Saturday. Flurries, squalls north of the city. Light snow Sunday into Monday. Watch out for things being a little bit messy Monday into Sunday with a mix of rain and snow. Back to you, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Also tonight, do you always take a sick day when you need one? How about now during the pandemic? But a new survey reveals about sick day hesitancy.
And a reminder, our 26th annual Toy Mountain campaign is underway, benefiting the Salvation Army this holiday season. There are several ways to show your support as we build a mountain of toys. You can do it on your phone simply by texting TOYS to 30333 to make a $25 donation.
You can also visit toymountain.ca to find a list of locations where you can drop off a new unwrapped toy to give a child this Christmas.
And we absolutely love to see your pictures and videos of how you're helping with this year's campaign. You can send them to toymountain@bellmedia.ca.
It's a rare genetic disorder. A toddler from Whitby is one of fewer than 500 kids in the world battling the serious condition that doesn't have a cure.
Her family partnering with local researchers in a race against time. Our health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
It was extremely difficult to diagnose. So Maddie started having seizures when she was 4 months old.
No one really knew what was happening. All of her tests came back normal.
Until the Hospital for Sick Children carried out the long process of genetic testing.
Maddie has a seizure disorder caused by a specific genetic change in a gene called SCN8A.
It's a type of epilepsy, an ultra-rare form that affects about 500 children worldwide.
Probably many more, but access to testing to confirm the diagnosis is limited.
Ontario only began doing the testing itself last year.
And SCN8A makes part of a door that connects the inside and the outside of our brain cells. The problem in Maddie's condition is that that door is stuck open and won't close properly. Fortunately, my colleagues in the epilepsy team here at SickKids have medications that are approved to treat children with seizures that act specifically to shut that door.
In addition to medications, Maddie also gets several kinds of physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and others, but there is no cure.
Good girl, Maddie.
That's why her family has just started fundraising for research.
We really think she deserves the opportunity to talk and walk, and we're just so concerned about her development plateauing. That's why there's really urgency behind the study.
You can find out more at bravemaddie.com. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
A new Nano survey shows most Canadian workers are hesitant to take a sick day when they're feeling under the weather. Of 570 adults surveyed, 16% of respondents said they always take a sick day when they need one. 27% said they do so most of the time, and 34% said they'll call in sick only some of the time. 22% said they never take sick days. Health experts say, especially during the pandemic, it's important to stay home if you're not feeling well.
A big legal victory for the Duchess of Sussex today in her long-running privacy lawsuit over the publication of a letter she wrote to her estranged father. The Court of Appeal in London upheld a high court ruling that publishing the letter was unlawful and breached her privacy. The senior judge dismissed the appeal, saying the Duchess had a reasonable expectation of privacy. In a statement this morning, Meghan said, This is a victory not just for me, but for anyone who has ever felt scared to stand up for what's right.
Taylor Swift sent a gift to American Pie singer Don McLean after her recent album release toppled one of his decades-long records. The 10-minute version of Swift's track All Too Well beat out American Pie to become the longest Billboard number one hit of all time. McLean posted a note from Swift on Instagram saying, she's a fan, adding, Don, I will never forget that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. McLean also shared a photo of the flowers Swift sent, adding, what a class act. Thank you, Taylor Swift, for the flowers and note.
It looks like concerns about the Omicron variant won't be keeping Spider-Man fans away from the movie theater.
What just happened?
Online ticketing service Fandango says Spider-Man No Way Home has already broken its pre-sale records for 2021, beating Marvel's Black Widow. Analysts note the early demand from hardcore fans might not translate into wider interest from the movie-viewing public. The new Spider-Man movie hits theaters December 17th.
People magazine has named Olympic gymnast Simone Biles, Canadian actor Sandra Oh, country icon Dolly Parton, and teachers across the United States as its 2021 People of the Year. The magazine says the cover stars have, quote, led the way in their fields to help make the world a little bit better. From Biles speaking out on mental health as an athlete to Oh fighting anti-Asian hate. Parton was recognized for giving away millions of books and supporting COVID-19 research. Juliana Uterbe, Teacher of the Year for 2021, appeared on a cover honoring all members of her profession. People says she represents millions of classroom heroes committed to ensuring kids' futures.
The countdown is on. The original Santa Claus Parade airs this weekend, featuring star-studded performances and memorable floats. CP24 spoke to the big man himself today to get the scoop on this year's event.
Well, the most important thing is the colorful floats, of course, and all the new floats. There is going to be one fantastic new float that was all to do with indigenous people, which is great, and it's the first time. And the marching bands, oh, and the entertainment, ho, ho, Ed Sheeran, Carrie Underwood, and so many that I've lost track. But it's going to be fantastic.
The parade was filmed at Canada's Wonderland. You can watch the original Santa Claus parade this Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on CTV. And CTV is a division of Bell Media.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
You can warm up with our smoking hot shows. It all starts at 7 tonight on CTV.
We are expanding our COVID-19 vaccine booster dose eligibility.
Updating our top stories, with concern growing over the Omicron variant, the province will soon offer third doses of COVID-19 vaccine to Ontarians ages 50 and up. Bookings will be available for anyone in that age group 6 months after their second shot.
All inbound international travelers must test within 1 day of departure.
The U.S. is tightening travel rules for incoming air travelers, regardless of vaccination status. The rules don't look set to apply at the land border, but federal officials say Canadians must use the ArriveCan app when returning to avoid problems crossing back into the country.
Yeah, I'm on the hook of $20,000 of damage.
That's how much a Toronto couple was told to pay by their condo building after they ordered appliances and the delivery driver's truck smashed into the garage door. After months of wrangling and a call from CTV News, Costco says it has offered to pay the full costs associated with the repairs.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video breaking news, let us know.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up 8 basis points to close at 78.07 U.S. American benchmark oil gained 93 cents a barrel to close at 66.50. And the TSX Composite Index gained 297 points to close at 20,762.
A new report suggests Canada's red-hot housing market isn't going to cool down anytime soon, at least when it comes to affordability. Real estate firm REMAX predicts home sale prices could go up by over 9% on average across Canada next year. The housing market outlook suggests migration between provinces is driving up prices, as well as tight supply in most markets. 36 of 38 markets across Canada are forecast to favor sellers over buyers in 2022.
Shares in Apple were down today after the tech giant reportedly told suppliers it's seeing slow demand for one of its main products. Bloomberg reports the company is seeing less interest in its iPhone 13 lineup. Analysts say it's been hard for consumers to actually find one of the smartphones to purchase, and some are giving up altogether. Apple is still on track for a record holiday season, though, with over $150 billion in sales projected in the last 3 months of the year.
The province's booster shot expansion has millions of people looking ahead to booking their appointments.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by Christina Tenaglia and Beatrice Vaisman. Beatrice, you're breaking down the details with a panel of medical experts tonight.
We are, Michelle. December 13th, that's the day to mark on your calendar if you are 50 and up and you've had 6 months at least since your second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 4.6 million Ontarians are going to become eligible for their booster shots on that day. Why is the province doing it? In short, the Omicron variant of concern. Dr. Kieran Moore today saying there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding it, and that's why he's imploring people to roll up their sleeves and get this third dose. Do we have the capacity? We'll talk to a pharmacist, a family doctor, and an infectious diseases physician to find out.
And Christina, you're also digging deeper into a new survey that shows the impact of supply chain issues on holiday shopping.
Yeah, Nathan, some of those stocking stuffers you're looking for may be out of stock. A new report from the Angus Reid Institute tells us that half of Canadians are having a hard time, whether they're shopping in person or online, finding the items they're looking for as they're shopping for the upcoming holiday season. No surprise considering the supply chain issues that have been caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The message, and we will hear from the experts, is you need to get an early start. Earlier. I mean, it's already December the 2nd. Back to you.
For sure. All right. Thank you both. And CP24 Tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
Tonight, the reality of racism in minor league hockey.
Some guys were telling me, hey, you don't belong.
A Halifax goalie targeted on and off the ice. The investigation and the outpouring of big league support. That's later on CTV National News.
Two NASA astronauts took part in a spacewalk today.
The visor is down. And Tom, if it's okay with you, I'm going to stick my feet out the hatch while I work my bag.
Thomas Marshburn and Kayla Barron braved the outside of the International Space Station to replace a faulty antenna. The work was delayed by 48 hours because of orbital debris. The spacewalk started early this morning and lasted over 6 hours.
And while spacesuits were key to that mission, Santa suits were the garment of choice at an aquarium in Budapest today. Two scuba divers donned the red and white suits along with their gear as they decorated an underwater Christmas tree. It may not be the biggest tree, but the aquarium says it will become part of the home for its aquatic wildlife. It will stay in the tank until the end of the holiday season. Perfect.
How festive. And from rain to the return of flurries, because the cold is coming right back, Michelle.
It really is on the way, Michelle. And what we're looking at is showers transitioning over to flurries as we get through the overnight period. And then very likely staying with us throughout the day tomorrow. But we will see some sunshine. We're at 5 degrees in Toronto right now, feeling like zero when you factor in these gustier winds. Scattered showers throughout the region, already seeing them transition over to flurries further to the northwest. Overnight tonight, -2, feeling like -8 early in the morning. 3 in a chance of flurries tomorrow with a little bit of sunshine. Cold overnight Friday into Saturday at -4, then some flurries on Saturday, possibly some snow squalls. Watch out for accumulating snow and then transitioning over to a mix of rain and snow Sunday into Monday. Things could get a little bit messy to start the week. Back to you.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 Tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.